This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, Republican representing the Garden State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. We want to talk to him about the latest developments in the health care debate, including this preliminary score on the latest version of the plan from the Congressional Budget Office. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, we know that obviously the Senate bill itself was scored a while ago. Is this score essentially on the proposed changes through the reconciliation process? Is that what we're looking at here?
That's essentially what we're looking at here, yeah.
And in terms of the score that we got back, Democrats literally called themselves giddy over this number, $940 billion over the first 10 years. They say it'll slash about $130 billion in deficits over that first 10 years. How accurate is that?
Well, giddy is one word, maybe laughable is a better word, because if anyone really believes that we're actually going to be saving money by adding tens of millions of more people to the rolls of who the government pays their health insurance for, obviously just doesn't understand basic math and how the government operates. The CBO score that we have here basically assumes the facts as given to them by the Democrat majority. And so when you take their assumptions, yes, you can assume anything you want, and that's when they come up with the $100 billion saved over a 10-year period.
And in terms of what the cost would really be, what do you see if these so-called accounting gimmicks, as Republicans say, are taken out? What's the real price tag in 10 years?
I don't have an exact number, but it's well over the trillions of dollars, because so much in the bill will not actually occur as they roll out, and other portions of the bill only apply to the first 10-year cycle. For example, there's a brand-new entitlement program in the bill. And in that entitlement program, it says they start collecting taxes effectively immediately, and they don't start paying out the benefits for them until the end of the 10-year cycle. Well, of course, if I start taking money from you in the first 5 or 6 years, and I only start giving you a little bit of back in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th year, for that 10-year period, I'll do okay. But after that, then it goes into deficit for the government, because we're paying out more than we're taking in.
There's obviously been a discussion over deficits for a long time here in Washington, and I remember when he was in the minority, the chairman of your budget committee, John Spratt of South Carolina, very harsh on the Bush administration over the red ink. What's been the defense of this, not only in the first 10 years, but beyond, which we don't hear a lot about? What's the debate been like within the budget committee on this?
In the budget committee, all they want to do, all the Democrats and Chairman Spratt wants to do, is point the finger at Bush and forget what the more recent history is. The more recent history, of course, is that Chairman Spratt has been the Democrat chairman of the Budget Committee since the Democrats have been in power, since Speaker Pelosi won in 06. And so in 07, 08, 09, and now 10, they have been writing the budget for the U.S. government. They have been the one bringing the bills to the floor. So they have been responsible for seeing the budget deficit go from, I think it was going down to around 286 under Bush in the final phase of that period, and now, of course, we're looking at up $1.6 trillion budget deficits.
Congressman, obviously there's a few undecided Democrats who will end up making the difference on this vote. Do you suspect that this CBO estimate is going to be a decisive factor?
Well, it'll be a factor for some who just wanted to have something that they could go back and try to explain to their constituents why they're voting for a bill that their constituents say vote no on. And they'll be able to waive this document. But in time, the constituents will realize what we all know now, that that number is really a bogus number, and they'll still wonder why did their representative not represent them.
We also have heard that this might be a preliminary or unofficial CBO number. Any analysis you can give us on that?
I'm sorry, I can't address that one.
Okay. In terms of the process, from what your understanding, are we still looking at the deem and pass strategy? And if so, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, the House seems so. When Speaker Pelosi was asked about that, she said that was like a great idea, because this way her members don't have to vote for the Senate bill because they don't want to. I have one little problem with that, and that is it's unconstitutional. If you look in the Constitution, it specifically says before any bill gets to the president's desk to sign, it must be voted on and passed both houses. You can't just deem something and wish it away.
There are Democrats, of course, who say that Newt Gingrich used this something like 100 times. Denny Hastert used it. Explain the difference.
Well, they will be saying that on so many different cases. They said that with regard to reconciliation and the like. They've never Republicans have never done that with a bill like this, certainly with one that was reconciliation, for example, was intended to actually cut spending. This one, at the end of the day, will actually increase spending. And likewise with the deeming, this is never done in this manner in the past.
Congressman, what are your constituents telling you?
They're overwhelmingly opposed to the bill. I just did a telephone town hall just the other day. Just about everyone on the call was vehemently opposed. I put the question to them, if you were in Congress right now and you could vote, what would you do? Four-fifths of them, I guess it was, said no, they would vote no on it. So they want no.
In terms of how you expect this to play out, I guess we're still looking at the deem and pass strategy, but are we at the point where all the talking points, all the arguments have been made, and now we're just waiting for people to weigh the political ramifications of this, I guess? Or is there still an argument that might be able to sway a few minds here?
Well, the argument that will sway politicians' mind is when they hear from their voters. And so we are now at the defining moment on this vote, and we're at a defining moment for this country as well, when the government says that they want to unconstitutionally force you to take something that you don't want to and intercede in a very private issue such as your private patient-doctor relationship. So now is the time that all Americans should be engaged and ready for, involved and ready for the fight. And that means a couple things. That means not only calling your senator in Washington and your congressman in Washington and your congressman, his district back in his district office, but you should also be calling every Democrat office holder in your state right now today and say to that assemblyman or representative or a state senator or county commissioner, if he's a Democrat, you should be calling him up and tell him that you want a no vote on this bill, and you want him to convey that message to your congressman, because he's part of that party, and the message obviously is not being heard down here in Washington.
Congressman, we're all looking to see what will happen in this showdown probably on Sunday. Thank you very much, sir, for your time as always.
Great, thank you.
New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.